Welcome to Healthy Vision. I'm your host, Dr. Val Jones. This show is brought to you by AccuView, the brand of contact lenses most trusted by eye doctors. If you're like me, you love to spend time outdoors. But no matter whether it's spring, summer, fall, or winter, being outside poses particular challenges for our eyes and our skin. On today's show, we're joined by two experts who will be talking to us about the importance of protecting your body from head to toe from the sun's dangerous UV rays and what you should know to protect yourself and your family. Joining us from Montclair, New Jersey is Dr. Janine Downey, an internationally recognized dermatologist and author. As a dermatologist, she sees the effects of sun on skin every day and will tell us the best tips for safe sun. And joining us from Arizona, the sunniest state in the United States, is Dr. Stephen Cohen, past president of the Arizona Optometric Association. As an optometrist, he sees the effect of the sun on our eyes and can offer some advice on how to protect our eyes from the sun. Dr. Cohen and Dr. Downey, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you.
Yes, nice to be with you, Dr. Jones.
Terrific. Well, to get started, Dr. Downey, I wanted to ask you why it's important for everyone to protect themselves from the sun's rays.
Well, skin cancer is the most common form of cancer here in the United States. More than 3.5 million new cases are diagnosed every single year. And each year, there are more new cases of skin cancer than the combined incidence of cancers of the breast, prostate, lung, and colon. So 1 in 5 Americans will develop skin cancer in the course of their lifetime. And the bottom line is over the past 31 years, more people have had skin cancer than all other cancers combined. So these are some of the reasons why it's so passionately important that people wear sunblock every single day. And that is, I like to say, rain or shine, January through December, regardless of ethnicity. If you take a cloudy day, it's not like you're confused if it's day or night. 77% of the sun's rays are still penetrating through the clouds. So you still need sunblock. And according to the Skin Cancer Foundation, only 33% of adults use sunblock on a somewhat regular basis. I don't know how sunblock, Dr. Jones, and regular appear in the same sentence, but the bottom line is that people are not getting the message. And so this is a serious message that people need to understand and be aware of.
And over the past 100 years, the incidence of skin cancer has been increasing, hasn't it?
Absolutely. If you look back at the statistics from 1930, the risk of developing a melanoma was 1 in 1,700. Now, it is 1 in 55. And we think that the great rise in the incidence of skin cancer has to do with increased leisure time and thinning of the ozone. And obviously, you know, people have products available to use, but they are not using them regularly and not using them as much as they should. I mean, they literally should be applying 1 ounce or the size of a shot glass to an adult body every 2 hours, less if you're a child, but that's every 2 hours, and people just aren't doing that.
And just as we've seen the incidence of skin cancer increasing in the United States, I think that's happening worldwide. Is that right?
Absolutely. I had to give a lecture last year. I was honored to give a lecture, I should say, at the World Congress of Dermatology in Seoul, in Korea. And I went and attended one of the other lectures, and they were talking about the vastly increased incidence of skin cancers all across Asia, in Africa, and in Europe. So this is a concern not only in the United States, but also all around the world.
We know why it's important to protect our skin from exposure to the sun, but why is it important that we also protect our eyes as well?
The challenge that we face in the eye care industry is very similar to what dermatologists experience, and that is compliance, because the changes aren't instantaneous. The instantaneous change we can see on our skin would be a sunburn, and there is the equivalent of a sunburn that can occur with our eyes due to exposure if you're out at the beach all day without protection or skiing in high altitudes without eye care protection, that we'll see a sunburn of the eyes. But most of the changes that occur with our eyes are long-term changes, and that's where the challenge in compliance is, because the effect of what we do today may not be seen for many decades.
But over time, Dr. Cohen, isn't it true that the exposure to UV radiation can actually age the eyes in visible ways?
Most definitely. We know that ultraviolet exposure can contribute to other changes in the eyes, and there's some recent studies that are strongly suggesting that it can cause premature changes with what happens to people in their 40s where they need reading glasses, and that may occur even at an earlier age. on a visible sense, in addition to what Dr. Downey said before about fine lines and wrinkles, we see those fine lines and wrinkles around the eyes and the skin around the eyes, the eyelids and the surrounding skin. And then we can see changes to the surface of the eye. Instead of having that nice, white, bright appearance to the eyes, our eyes may get a little bit cloudier looking. There may be a duller appearance. We may see more redness and blood vessels visible. And then we also have these other discolorations that many people will see, which in which the white part of the eye looks a little bit yellowish or light brown. And those are benign growths that occur due to long-term UV exposure, wind, and dryness, factors that many people are exposed to, but UV being one of the primary causes of that. And then, of course, we have the damages that can occur inside the eye. It's estimated that about one-third of all cataracts that develop are due to long-term UV exposure, and there's damage to other parts inside the eye that can occur too, some of which are potentially irreversible.
Can any of that damage be reversed?
Cataracts can be reversed, in essence, through cataract surgery, which is highly successful, but obviously people want to do all they can to avoid surgery, and cataracts are one of those preventable diseases, even though it has a very high success rate of being able to reverse that. But the key is to the old adage of an ounce of prevention, and I think this is one in which the preventative tools that are available to us now will pay big, big dividends in years to come as we age.
Dr. Cohen, what do you tell your patients about how they can protect their eyes from the sun?
There are very clear steps that patients can take to increase protection from the sun as far as damage to the eyes. And I call it a triad of protection. The first thing that patients can do is to wear a hat with a brim. That'll help to block the sun, particularly during the highest UV portions of the day, the midday period. Secondly, they need to wear sunglasses, and the sunglasses should cover from about the eyebrow to the upper cheek on a vertical level, and also should be larger on across their face with either a thicker temple, the side of the sunglasses, or a wrap, a curve to the glasses. That'll protect from the UV that can enter from the sides of the glasses and reach our eye. And then for my patients who wear contact lenses, I almost exclusively recommend that they wear contact lenses that have UV protection. And my lens of choice is the AccuView Oasis, which has the highest level of UV blocking of any contact lens on the market.
I don't think too many people know that contact lenses have UV protection built in. Do they all have that?
No, it's a very good question, and patients are not aware of that. I find on a daily basis when I bring up that benefit to patients, they're quite surprised. Statistically, the average contact lens will block about 10 to 20% of the ultraviolet that reaches the eyes, and we now have products that will block between 90 and 100% of UVA and UVB and provides a much, much higher level of protection from the sensitive structures inside the eye.
And I bet Dr. Downey also tells her patients to wear hats and so on. And I wonder, Dr. Downey, if you have any thoughts about sun-protective clothing?
Well, I even tell them to walk on the shady side of the street. I mean, I'm just, like, way overboard with all of this. I try to tell them to avoid the strongest point during the day, which are the hours between 10 and 2, and then I do tell them to look into protective clothing. There's a number of good clothing lines on the market, and people can get an SPF of 30 or above in their clothing and their hats that they wear, absolutely. And I also tell them to wear sunglasses all the time just because it's a part of good sun protection and good sun avoidance. But the bottom line is, if they're not reapplying the sunscreen, then they're not doing themselves justice in terms of the best care for their skin and making sure for those people that have had skin cancers that they don't get more skin cancers.
And what do you tell your patients to look for in a sunscreen?
I tell them to look for broad spectrum protection with UVA and UVB. I like a lot of the Aveeno products. I think they work very well. They rub into all different skin types. They don't block your pores. They won't break you out. Some of the Aveeno sprays include the Aveeno Hydrosport. That Hydrosport is something that is great to spray on when you're just out of the pool from a swim and put it on, and it's tenacious and it sticks to wet skin. But it, again, it does have to be reapplied. There is no such thing as a true sunblock. There are only sunscreens, and all sunscreens need to be reapplied, especially if they've been in and out of the water a lot or if they're, say, jogging or something like that, Dr. Jones, and sweating.
And what about for kids?
My daughter is 9, and I still, you know, have her using the Aveeno Baby SPF 55. And I think it's a superior product. And she's had little to no trouble except for when she didn't apply it. You have to make sure you get everywhere. And my preference is actually to put it on in the house and let it sink in for 20 minutes before you even go outside, and put it on and then put their bathing suit on. That way there's not these skip areas or these miss areas.
One of the most amazing statistics that is widely accepted is that about 80% of the ultraviolet that we're exposed to in our lifetime happens before we reach adulthood. So it's ironic that adults wear sunglasses, but kids spend time outdoors. And the other factor that we have is that children's eyes are much clearer. Each of the structures are much clearer. That allows even more light, including ultraviolet radiation, to enter the eyes. So the most critical time for protection is during those childhood years, when children are spending more time outdoors, when they tend to be less likely to be thinking about ultraviolet protection and wearing sunglasses, and when the risk factor is the greatest because the structures of the eyes are the clearest, allowing even more of the damaging rays to penetrate the eyes.
You're listening to Healthy Vision with Dr. Val Jones, brought to you by AccuView, the brand of contact lenses most trusted by eye doctors. Joining me today, Dr. Janine Downey and Dr. Stephen Cohen. We're talking about the importance of UV protection from head to toe. You know, when I'm at the beach, I see people selling sunglasses all over the place, and I wonder if all sunglasses are created equal. Dr. Cohen, how do you feel about sunglasses?
Well, no, not all sunglasses are created equal when we look at various factors. The one benefit that's occurred is that there are requirements now for sunglasses to state how much UV blocking they have. And many, many years ago, before they were required to do that, sometimes wearing sunglasses created a bigger problem because you put a sunglass on and it limits the amount of light that goes into your eyes so that your pupil, the black circle in your eye, gets bigger, and that allows even more UV to enter the eyes. Now with UV blocking in sunglasses and a requirement to state what's in there, people are getting the information that they need to make sure the sunglasses do have adequate protection. And the sunglasses should say that they're is 100% UVA, UVB, or 99%, but it should be clearly stated. After that, as I mentioned earlier, has to do with how the sunglasses cover the eyes and the surrounding tissue. And then the third thing that often is ignored are the quality of the sunglasses. When patients are fit with contact lenses, and say they even go ahead and they're wearing the AccuView Oasis, so they already have UV blocking to protect the internal structures of their eyes, if you put on a cheap pair of sunglasses, often you're distorting the images, and you're getting a compromised quality of vision that the contact lenses provided. And when we compromise our vision, that puts us at greater risk when we're driving and other things. So quality of the lenses is the third part of that.
Are there any long-term studies on the benefits of UV blocking contact lenses?
There are no long-term human studies on it. For one thing, if you think about a study to see the effect when we know the impact of ultraviolet could take decades, is those studies are still long in the future. As we learn more about ultraviolet and begin those studies, we have to follow patients over long periods of time. So there are not direct human studies that show that. We do know that ultraviolet will damage the eyes conclusively. So as a result, anything we can do to limit the amount of ultraviolet that reaches our eyes is logically going to then decrease the chances of potential damage from ultraviolet to our eyes.
Now, I imagine that kids can probably say, Mom, it's not even sunny outside. Why do I have to put on sunscreen? Why do I have to wear sunglasses? What do you say to them then?
When people complain to me, really? It's cloudy outside, Dr. Downey. Why do I have to wear sunblock when it's cloudy outside? I tell them 77% of the sun's rays are still penetrating through the clouds. So you can still get burned on a cloudy day. And many of them kind of think about it for a minute and realize, that might have already happened to me once or twice. So I do explain it, but you know, people, they either want to hear the facts and want to protect their skin, or they don't. And, you know, it bothers me when they don't. And then they come back in with multiple skin cancers, because a lot of people that have one skin cancer are going to have repeat skin cancers. That's what I try to explain to my patients as well. And somewhere along the lines, they start thinking to themselves, you know what, it would be a lot better for me to start wearing sunscreen religiously.
I bet another thing that you hear a lot is, you know, it's the wintertime, it's cold outside. People are not thinking about protecting themselves from the sun because it's so cold. But is it important to think about sun protection year-round?
Absolutely year-round, and that's why I tell everybody, like I said, January through December, you need to be putting sunscreen on. And there are dull winter days. I mean, this in the Northeast, this year we've had a really bright, sunny, and a bit of a mild winter. But people aren't really thinking about, oh, let me stick my sunscreen on. So I try to encourage my patients simple things like put your sunscreen, buy your deodorant and your toothpaste, because you're not going to walk out the house and forget to brush your teeth, and you're not going to walk out the house and forget to put deodorant on. So that way it gets people in the habit of doing it every day.
There are several factors that come into play when we think about wintertime. If we have milder days, we're more likely to spend more time outdoors, therefore we're lengthening the time of exposure. And one of the big problems that we face is reflection. During the winter, that often is the case when it comes to snow. It's not just the light that winds up coming up from above us where the sun is. It's what reflects off surfaces. And if we're experiencing glare that comes off of, say, the surface of snow, the UV also bounces off the snow and enters our eye, so that we wind up seeing reflective surfaces be a problem, whether it's wintertime and snowing. And if we go skiing, we have to be extra cautious because in the higher altitudes, we have more UV exposure. So it becomes even more important in those situations. During other times of the year, it could be reflection coming off of the sand at the beach. It could be coming off of the water at the pool or lake or ocean. So anything that reflects is not only reflecting the visible light that makes us squint, but also reflecting the ultraviolet rays that is damaging.
Now, I wanted to just ask you both about what your recommendations are for patients to check in with you, how frequently they need to check in with you, if there are any family history issues that would cause you to want to see them more frequently, that kind of stuff. Let's start with Dr. Cohen.
Although the standard of care is for people to get their eyes examined once a year, and that's whether or not they're noticing a change in their vision, because vision is the most precious of our five senses. Most people will feel that way. And as a result, we want to make sure that everything is healthy. We're checking for cataract development. We're checking for glaucoma. We're checking for others, even systemic diseases that can have an impact on the eyes, in addition to checking whether there's a change in their vision that may require a new correction. So annual exams are important.
And Dr. Downey, how frequently do you want to see your patients?
Well, it varies. If they have no history of skin cancer, then I want to see them once a year for a total body check, we call it, which is a total skin check. We go head to toe, so myself or my two physician's assistants will look in their scalp, basically, through their thick or thin hair. We look in their ears. We look in their mouth. We go from scalp down to between their toes, kind of looking everywhere to make sure that no mole is changing, no mole looks suspicious, they don't have some bump or lump or growth that's not healing or bleeding or looks different than it did 6 months ago. All of those things are signs of skin cancer. If you have a history of skin cancer in your family and you've had like a basal cell or a squamous cell yourself, then we like to see you every 6 months. And if you have a history of a melanoma, a personal history of melanoma, we like to see you every 3 months, especially every 3 months with melanoma for the first 3 to 4 years afterwards. Because, you know, according to the Skin Cancer Foundation, about 800,000 Americans are living with a history of melanoma. So that means obviously they're still living, thank God. And 13 million are living with a history of non-melanoma skin cancer, like basal cell carcinomas or squamous cell carcinomas. So those people need to be checked more frequently because they get recurrences more than other people may even get the disorder. Well, you know, in this case, the disease. I tell people that annual skin checks are a must with self-checks in between. I mean, once a month, you should definitely be looking at yourself from head to toe and just making sure you see nothing changing. Men miss melanomas more on their backs because they're not looking. Women, we're hooking our bra. We're making sure something's not showing. We are looking at our backs. Women miss melanomas more on the backs of their legs. There are a great deal of resources out there for people who can't get skin cancer screenings regularly. According to the Census Bureau, more than 50 million people were uninsured in 2010, which means almost 1 in 6 U.S. residents did not have adequate skin care. So because of their continued commitment to developing smart sun habits, Aveeno has sponsored the Skin Cancer Foundation's Road to Healthy Skin Tour for the 5th year in a row. And the Road to Healthy Skin Tour offers free full-body screenings to the general public. And since the tour began, we've done a little over 13,000 screenings with 3,200 suspected actinic keratoses, which are precancerous skin lesions, with about 1,300 suspected basal cell carcinomas, about 465 suspected squamous cell carcinomas, 239 suspected melanomas, so a total of almost 5,300 total suspicious findings. So they can basically go to facebook.com/Aveeno to get more information on the Road to Healthy Skin Tour.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Cohen and Dr. Downey. I think now we're all more aware of how to protect our eyes and our skin from the sun's dangerous rays.
Dr. Jones, thank you for moderating and getting this information out there.
Thank you, Dr. Val. It's been a pleasure.
To look for a Road to Healthy Skin Tour stop near you, or to find out more information on Aveeno, please visit www.facebook.com/Aveeno. And if you would like additional information on sun protection, download Fast Facts for Your Health, the Sun and Your Eyes at www.healthywomen.org/sunandyoureyes. You've been listening to Healthy Vision with Dr. Val Jones, brought to you by AccuView, the brand of contact lenses most trusted by eye doctors.
Healthy Vision with Dr. Val Jones is a copyright of Johnson & Johnson Vision Care Incorporated, 2012. Dr. Jones and Dr. Cohen are paid consultants for Johnson & Johnson Vision Care Incorporated. Dr. Downey is a paid consultant of Johnson & Johnson Consumer Companies Incorporated. As with all contact lenses, a prescription is required. Rare but serious eye problems can develop. Ask your eye doctor about proper wear and care and whether contact lenses are right for you. For more information on AccuView brand contact lenses, go to AccuView.com. AccuView, AccuView Oasis, and Healthy Vision are trademarks of Johnson & Johnson Vision Care Incorporated. Aveeno is a trademark of Johnson & Johnson Consumer Companies Incorporated.